Well, good morning to everybody. It's good to be here in church this morning as we cover 1 Samuel chapter 12, and we're going to go over verses 20 through 25. 1 Samuel 12, 20 through 25. Before we turn there, hold your finger there, we'll look at the introductory verse. And title this message, God's Plan Discovered. We're looking here at Samuel from the Old Testament, written many thousands of years ago. We're going to try to see how this applies to us today. So, introductory verse, 2 Corinthians 5:17, a familiar verse that we talk about and have seen. And 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." It's definitely a pretty cool verse to take in a couple different ways. And one is salvation. You know, if you get saved, hey, you're a new creature. Old things pass. All things become new. You've repented. You have changed. You have accepted the Lord. You have changed your family. You have said, "I'm no longer going to be in Satan's family. I'm going to be in God's family. I'm going to follow Him. I'm going to follow His path." So when you do that, according to Romans 10:9, mouth confession, heart belief of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, that personal choice, when you do that, you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, sealed to the day of redemption, not going anywhere. As you made that choice, you become a son of God, a child of God. He has a plan for us. That's where it gets lost. It gets missing in churches. It's not understood. It's not preached. The plan to serve Him. We need to. So, it says there, "If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away." What about when we get saved, Christ is in us. Now, let's be in Him. Let's be in Him. If any man be in Christ, our choice to be in Him. If we do that, we understand the plan that, hey, the point of the message here, I know I've been delivered. I know who's ruling my life. I know I have direction from Him. I know the destination we're going to go to, heaven. I know I have a job to do, discipleship, teach. And I need to have the determination, desire with that. It doesn't come naturally, that determination, that desire. It has to come from God, than ourselves, and His Word. That's the plan that God has for us to serve Him in a nutshell, and we're going to go over all that. It's our choice, free will choice. If any man be in Christ, am I in Christ today? I mean to ask that, because if I'm not, as it says in the last point, destruction awaits. So, we will be judged on how we serve Him. So, as we turn back to the passage here in 1 Samuel chapter 12, we see in verse 20 in this first point, titled the point, "Delivered." What is the problem here in verse 20 in 1 Samuel chapter 12? It says, "And Samuel said unto the people, Fear not, ye have done all this wickedness." What is all this wickedness they did? We can see right here in 1 Samuel 12 and 17, it kind of tells us what it is here. It says, "Is it not wheat harvest today? I will call unto the Lord, and He shall send thunder and rain, that ye may perceive and see that your wickedness is great, which ye have done in the sight of the Lord, in asking you a king." So, what happened? The nation of Israel here, Samuel's a prophet. I think he's one of the only prophets at this time, speaking the truth of God. Remember, they don't have the written word of God. They have these prophets that speak the truth from God. So here's Samuel. He's getting toward the end of his life, getting old. Come along. There's things happening that weren't too good. We can see some more of this. Let's turn back to 1 Samuel 8. Kind of tells a little more of the context of what we're dealing with here in this wickedness. We see that it was asking for a king. It 1 Samuel 8, we see that in starting in verse 4, this is when they did it right here. It says, "Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramah and said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations." So Samuel's getting old. His sons are not following God. They're taking bribes and doing things in the flesh that aren't good. And the nation of Israel says, will they say here, "Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations"? Hey, we don't want God to be our king. We want you to make us a king like all the nations. Now, what's that sound like? Like all the nations. That sounds like the world, doesn't it? Let's just make us a king like the rest of the world. Let's just be just like the rest of the world. Is that what we want to be today? No, it is not. That's why, as we read on here, in verse 6, 1 Samuel 8, verse 6, it says, "But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, Give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed to the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, Hearken unto the voice of the people and all that they say to thee. For they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them." So all this wickedness, we see in the passage from 1 Samuel 12, verse 20, all this wickedness, they rejected the Lord God reigning over them. They chose us, they wanted a king to be like all the rest of the nation, be like the rest of the world, rejected the Lord reigning over them. That's what they're need delivered from, this wickedness. As we see in verse 20, what happens? God tells Samuel, again, verse 20, says, "The Samuel said to the people, Fear not, because you have chosen this wickedness, because you have chosen, you don't want God to reign over you, fear not, you have done all this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart." Can you see a picture of us today, of each individual? See what the problem was. They wanted to replace God reigning in. They wanted to not have God in control of their life. Do we make that choice today? Yes, we do, very easily. We get sidetracked, don't we, from God reigning in our life, from God ruling our life, to leading us in what we should do. It goes into temporal things, the things of this earth, things we can see. Things like that take us out. I know I enjoy TV, I enjoy the outdoors, I enjoy a lot of things that are temporal. We all have things, right? We can see, like, take us time away from God and focusing on Him. And you think, oh, it's God, you know, it's okay, God won't carry out. He doesn't care, to a point He doesn't care, because He made all this stuff we get to enjoy, right? The outdoors, all the stuff, you know, this world that He created, it's awesome stuff, God made it. But don't let it ruin your life. We got TV, we got sports, we got all the activities that take us out and replace God. There's a thing once heard way back. If you want to start a pattern, do something three times. If you want to start a pattern, do something three times, and that'll lead you right down that path. Do something three times. Like, want to get started a lot, like, oh, you miss, it's okay to miss church, and that's fine. Well, miss it three times in a row and see how easy it is to miss that fourth time, and just that pattern gets started. Or, you know, a particular thought that's not right or something, like, do it three times and see how easy it is to do that fourth time. That pattern gets set. Take the Word of God. Miss it 3 days in a row. Don't get into it. The pattern gets set. It's easy to do that fourth time, fifth time. So just making the point of the pattern gets set pretty easily. It's usually in three times. And you think about it, there's been a kind of a physical rule that I wouldn't ever want to try to deal with, but how long can you live without water? 3 days is what they say usually. Water. live without water 3 days. That's a picture of the Word of God. Go without it 3 days. Go without the Word 3 days and see what happens. The pattern set. God has our physical body set up in a lot, very good picture of the spiritual thing set for us. So anyway, the wickedness was rejecting God as their king, was rejecting him from reigning, was replacing God. That was their wickedness as we continue on. And that's what Samuel says here. Fear not, you'd be delivered from this. Let's look at Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9 to see this deliverance and this how he does it for us. Daniel chapter 9. We'll start in verse 8. Daniel chapter 9. See, very, very interesting passage here. Daniel chapter 9, starting in verse 8. It says, O Lord, to us belong confusion of faith, to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. Just like Samuel was dealing with. We're confused. Who's the author of confusion? Satan is, not God. It says, we have sinned against thee. Verse 9, to our Lord, to thee, Lord, our God, belong mercies and forgivenesses, both plural, though we have rebelled against him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants, the prophets. Mercies and forgivenesses. Samuel is telling them, fear not, because of the mercies and forgivenesses, plural. Think about it. We hear forgiveness a lot. We accept the Lord Jesus as our Savior for forgiveness of sins. Well, it's past, present, future. It's all of them. What about as we are trying to grow, trying to serve Him, we're gonna fall down. We're gonna fail. We're gonna mess up. But it's forgiveness is get back up and do what God would have us to do. Look at Proverbs. Proverbs 24:16. What it tells us there, if you fall down, the righteous men fall down. Proverbs 24:16. Says, for a just man falls 7 times and rises up again, but the wicked shall fall in mischief. You're going to fall. As you're trying to serve God, your decision, make a bad decision, like not allowing God to reign in your heart for that moment. Hey, you fell. So, you fell. A just man falls 7 times and rises up again. You still need to know and understand the plan that God has. Get back up. He has forgivenesses and mercies. That is just a cool point. It's not one time. It's for all. So, another point on deliverance from our bad decisions, from this wickedness, Psalms 18. Let's look at Psalms 18. Psalms 18, the first 3 verses here. This is David gives us this psalm. It says, Psalms 18, verse 1 says, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. So shall I be saved from my enemies. What's our enemies today? Enemies we deal with? The world, the flesh, the devil. That's the 3 enemies we have. The biggest one is our own flesh. We fall down because of our own flesh. David says, so shall I be saved from my enemies. He will deliver us from the wickedness, our choices of not allowing him to reign. Because when we fall, that's all it is. We just chose to not allow God to reign at that moment. And he will. He has multiple forgivenesses for us. I think of another passage that's pretty familiar around here. When you see verse 3, it says, "So shall I be saved from my enemies." You see that word "so." Got it. Automatically think of Romans 10:17. What's that say? So, then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So, I've been saved by my enemies. What do I need to do? I need to get into the word of God. So, then faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You want to be delivered from your bad choices, from your decisions to not allow God to reign at that moment, that time, whatever, get into the word of God. So, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. That is the answer. That is what delivers us. Increase our faith. I tell you, when I was putting this together, a neat thing that I saw was just that point. It's just like, I've always thought of faith as like, well, you know, getting faith, getting the word, you know. What are you doing when you have that faith, when you get in the Word? That's your choice in allowing the Lord to reign over you. Increase your faith, increase your choice, increasing God's reign over you in your heart to allow Him to help us make our decisions with that increased faith. Pretty cool little point to be delivered from. He delivers us from that wickedness, from our bad choice of not allowing Him to reign in us. Just like Samuel was preaching to the nation of Israel at that time. As we turn back to the passage, 1 Samuel 12, go to our second point here, and it's a direction. The direction. So we're delivered from our bad choice, the wickedness of not allowing to God to reign, and it gives us direction. And we're starting verse 20 again. It says, "And Samuel said to the people, Fear not, ye have done all this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart." Right there. "But serve the Lord with all your heart." Verse 21. "And turn ye not aside, for then should ye go after vain things, which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain." There's that direction. If you want to be delivered, if you are, make the choice to be delivered, allow God to reign in your life, there's a direction you take. Serve the Lord with all your heart and turn not aside. You know, we've been delivered with the direction. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. Let's read that. We've been delivered with the direction from the Lord. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10 is by faith, grace. As we see, Ephesians 2, starting at verse 8. "For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourself, it is the gift of God." It's a free gift. Accept the Lord. That free gift, accept Him as your Savior. It's not of works, lest any man should boast, verse 9. Then here's this direction in verse 10. "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." No.
You don't?
No.
Well, you are. Some time ago, and I asked you to pour. To pour the gas from
into. As we get to talking again about our point here, our second point is direction. We're in Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10, and we were talking about the direction that God has laid out for us after we accepted the free gift of God and His grace. Nothing we do, just a gift. And it says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." We should walk in good works. We should serve the Lord with all our heart and turn not aside. And we walk in good works. Guess what? There's two ways to walk, because not only God gives us the free gift of salvation, we are a child of God, but he left our free will choice in us, didn't he? He didn't do away with our old nature. We got the new nature. We have the Holy Spirit inside of us. We have two ways to walk. Galatians 5:16 tells us that. Galatians 5:16, we have two ways to walk. Our choice. It says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Serving the Lord with all our heart, and turn on his side. If you turn aside to the flesh, you walk in the flesh, you've turned aside. It's wrong. It's bad. God does not want us doing that. We have two ways to walk. Walk in the Spirit or walk in the flesh. In John, we don't have to turn there, but in John 14:15, the Lord Jesus tells us what? He says, "If you love me, keep my commandments. Serve the Lord with all our heart and turn on his side." He says in John 14:15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Very, very important to understand that. And that's the Lord talking. Now, we're going to draw a little bit of distinction here as we see. Let's turn to Matthew 22. God, the Lord is laying out. The Pharisees trying to tempt him, I believe, in Matthew 22. Matthew 22 and starting 36. It says, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" This is the Pharisee talking to him, trying to tempt him, tip the Lord. He says, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment." That is a direction to serve the Lord with all your heart, to turn not aside. Love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Very key thing for us to do, to follow, to understand, to be. Now the Lord stated that. Who was he stating it to? Who was he stating it to? We're in the Gospels. He's stating it to the folks he's ministering to. Who was he ministering to? Ministering to the nation of Israel. Nation of Israel. How do we know that? Romans. Let's turn to Romans 15. No, hold on. While we're in Matthew, before we go there, what did he say? He said, John 14:15, "If you let me keep my commandments." And here he's saying, "Hey, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind." What else did he say in Matthew? Matthew 10. The Lord said in Matthew 10, this thing here, this one that we're going to draw a distinction of rightly divided and understanding the context and who was Jesus' ministry to. He told them to do this. Now, ask ourselves, are we going to do this in Matthew 10? Matthew 10, verse 5 and 6. "These 12 Jesus sent forth, commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans, enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." That's a commandment from the Lord to the apostles. And he said what? Don't go the way of the Gentiles, but go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Okay. That rules us out because we're not Jewish. We're Gentiles. The Lord commanded that. So, drawing a distinction of right, divide and understanding here. Let's look also Matthew. What the Lord commanded in Matthew 23. Matthew 23, starting in verse 1, the Lord commanded this. And he said, "Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, The scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not ye after their works, for they say and do not." Here's the Lord telling them, hey, the scribes and Pharisees, they sit in Moses' seat. They are givers of the law, making sure they're following law. Everything they tell you to do, observe it. Observe and do. but don't do after their works, because they're hypocrites. But he was telling them to do it. Observe the law, in other words. So here it is. We understand the context is to the nation of Israel. Paul tells us that. Romans 15. Let's look at Romans 15. Romans 15 and verse 8. Why did Jesus say this in that context? And should we be abiding by it? The answer is no, we should not. And this is why he said it. No, I say that Jesus Christ was a minister. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. So Jesus was a minister to the circumcision for the word of God. He was a minister to the nation of Israel. He's not a minister to the body of Christ. Then we have to ask ourselves, who was a minister to the body of Christ? It's right here in the same chapter, Romans 15, as we look in verse 15 and 16. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort as putting you in mind, because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. So, who was the minister of the Gentiles? Paul was. Remember, we're talking about a direction. Serve the Lord with all your heart and turn not aside. Serve the Lord with all your heart and turn not aside. Who is the minister of the Gentiles? In this passage, verse 16 directly says that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. That's Paul speaking. Paul was a minister to Gentiles. We should be following his direction. In other words, directly following his commands, the doctrine that he gave and laid out in the Word of God. A couple more verses to verify this. Romans 11:13 explicitly states, Romans 11:13, Paul says, "For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of Gentiles, I magnify mine office." Remember what the Lord said in Matthew 10:2-12? Don't go to the Gentiles. Go to the lost sheep of house Israel only. And here's Paul saying, hey, I am the apostle of Gentiles. He is the one that we, the body of Christ, born again by Romans 10:9 salvation, Ephesians 2:8-9, grace alone, faith alone. He is the minister that we should be following. Serve the Lord with all your heart and turn not aside. Focus on what Paul says. One more final verse, 1 Corinthians 11:1, to bear this point out. 1 Corinthians 11:1, Paul says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." Not a suggestion, is it? If you feel like it, follow what Paul says, not what is stated there. "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." Understand, the direction that we have comes from Paul. To please God, the direction that we have comes from Paul. We have the whole book, the whole Bible is for us, but the part that's to us is written by Paul, Romans through Philemon. "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." If you want to be delivered, if you want to accept the Lord's reigning in your life, make that decision with the direction of serving the Lord with all your heart. Turn on the side. You need to be following Paul and what he said. Let's turn back to the passage. 1 Samuel 12. We look at verse 22. We'll start in start 21 again. It says, "And turn ye not aside, for then ye should go after vain things, which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain." Very key point on here, I'll just touch on this, in 21 is they're stating that which cannot profit nor deliver. The opposite of that is can profit and can deliver. We should be wanting things that are profitable and we're delivered from. Profitable for us now and at the judgment seat. Delivered now and at the judgment seat, that we allow the Lord to reign. Allow the Lord to reign in our life. Because one day we may get to reign with him if we follow this direction. In verse 22, we see the destination. "For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. The Lord doesn't forsake anybody that is his ever, ever. He does not forsake them. He's always there for us, right? He's always here for us. Remember the mercies and forgivenesses? He's here for us. He is not forsaken the Jewish nation. He's still got a lot to do with them. A lot of promises left for them coming up once the church is raptured out. He's not forsaken the body of Christ. Many believe that after you've accepted him as a child of God, that you can lose your salvation. That's not true according to what Paul lays out. We have discipleship around here, eternal security. The main verse of that is Romans 8, 38 and 39. You will not be forsaken. Let's turn to that. We cannot lose our salvation. Romans 8, 38 and 39. It says, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Nothing we can do can separate us from the love of God. He will not forsake us. It's us that forsake him when we get off the plan. We follow our own plan. He will not forsake us. We forsake him. Remember, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. We're going to be in Christ. He's in us. Now let's be in him. Get the faith. So, this destination, let's look closer at that. What awaits us in eternity? Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Start in verse 7 as we look in Ephesians chapter 1. Says, "In whom we have redemption through the blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him." That is laying out dispensation of eternity future right there. That time frame after the millennial reign. There's seven dispensations in the Bible. That's the seventh one right there. The dispensation of eternity future. That is what awaits us. That's our destination, to be gathered together in him. In one, everything that's ever been in Christ, in God, he's going to bring it together. And it's our job to understand that, to fulfill that mission, to understand this plan, to do it. Like when you're on a mission, if you don't know what the destination is, do you really have a mission, you know? You don't even understand what's going on. We're just out here living our life, doing what we do. A lot of Christians do not understand this destination is. He's going to gather us all together. We will be raptured out of here. If you're a believer, we will be judged on how we served him. We'll all come together at the end after the millennial reign to serve him. Let's look at Colossians chapter 1. That second point is that verse says, "Pleased to make you his people." Colossians chapter 1. See here where he's pleased to make us his people. Colossians chapter 1, we'll start in verse 8 and read through 14 here. It says, "Who hath declared unto us your love in the Spirit? For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Keep that point in mind. Do not cease to pray for you, as we will look on here. In verse 10, "That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." What's the key word in verse 10 there? That you might. It's our choice. He wants us to walk worthy of the Lord to all pleasing. Our choice. Are we going to follow his plan? Verse 11, strengthen with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He's pleased to make us his people. He's made us meet. He gives us the make us being fit, make us being qualified to understand that, hey, we're made meet to be partakers, made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance. He's making us that way. We've got to allow God to make us to be qualified, to be in, to have the inheritance that awaits. That's why he's laid out his plan. That's how he makes us meet. Are we following the plan? In verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, and whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Remember, we have the forgiveness of sins at salvation. They're all forgotten. We have forgivenesses of all the sins that we do as a child of God. As we're on our path, we fall on our face, get back up. He forgives us. He doesn't want us down there. He doesn't want us staying there. He wants us to get back up and serve him, as we've talked about already. So, he's made us meet. Are we following his plan? That's the only way he makes us meet, if we're following his plan that he's laid out. We understand we need to stay away from the wickedness of not allowing him to reign in our life. We need to serve the Lord with all our heart and turn on his side by following what Paul has laid out. That destination awaits. Heaven awaits for us. Cool thought to think of in that mission as we're walking through our life here physically on earth. Let's turn back to the passage. And we look at the next verses. Verse 23 says, moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. Now this is Samuel talking back to the nation of Israel. He was the prophet. He was the one preaching the word. He was speaking the word, trying to live the word. He's a picture of what we should be. If you have the first three points down, being delivered, understanding that we need to allow God to reign in our life every day, we understand his direction, we know what awaits, that destination of heaven awaits if we're following his plan. If you have that down, that understanding, and you're trying to increase your faith, allow him to reign, then we have a job to do. It's called discipleship right here. Discipleship and prayer. Samuel said, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. That's the first thing. We should be praying for others. Thinking about others more than ourselves. When you do that, your problems don't seem to be quite so important when you're focused on others' problems and praying for them, showing them, trying to be there for them, praying for all that they've got going on. You're concerned for others. That's what God wants us to do as someone that is trying to follow God's plan. As we've seen, as I mentioned in Colossians 1:9, I said, see that? Paul didn't cease to pray. Also, we see in Ephesians 1:16, we can turn there. Paul didn't cease to pray for Ephesians there, Ephesians 1:16. Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. He was always giving thanks and always making mention of prayers to the Ephesians. And then also, 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. Keep praying. Pray for others. Give your problems to God. Pray for the others and their problems and following God's plan. That's one of our jobs, discipleship and prayer. Now, you see the next point. He says in Samuel here, verse 23, but I will teach you the good and the right way. I will teach you the good and the right way. That's discipleship. As we see in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Paul, apostle of the Gentiles, talking to Timothy, his son in the faith. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." He said, don't be timid, right? Don't be weak. Be strong in the grace. This gospel of grace we've been given, Paul was given to Paul, it's written, laid out for us. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Verse 2, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall bell teach others also." 4 generations of discipleship there. Paul, Timothy, faithful men who shall bell teach others also. 4 generations. But it's the same. It's discipleship. The same. Commit it to them. Teach them. Because that's the plan God has for the body of Christ, the Gentile church. Discipleship. Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians 4. Kind of tie some of this together from Paul. Paul's talking to the Corinthians here in 1 Corinthians 4. Remember, they were a carnal church, had a lot of problems. Paul lays it out in 1 Corinthians 4, starting in verse 14. He says this, "I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons I warn you." Paul, the apostle Gentile, writing this to Corinthians, not to shame them, but to warn us. Should we take this as a personal warning ourselves? Yes, we should. This is a warning to us today. "For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel of grace given to him by Paul." He delivered, he begot him through the gospel of grace. It says, "Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me." Back to the point of direction, point 2, following Paul. Now, key, verse 17 here. "For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son, and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church." Paul's teaching it everywhere in every church. Should everywhere in every church be teaching the same stuff today? Yes. That's discipleship. According to the truth of God, the gospel of grace given to Paul. Yes, we should be discipling. Understanding that the plan that God has for us today is following Paul, and we need to heed his warning. One final verse to prove this point, Philippians 4, verse 9. "Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me," this is Paul talking to the Philippians, "seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." So, heed Paul's warning, heed his advice, heed what he's laid out. Do discipleship, do prayer for others, teach the Word of God. Very important in that understanding and this plan that God's laid out for us. As we turn back to the passage, we go back to our next point. We see the determination or the desire that we need to have. It says in verse 24, "Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he hath done for you." Only fear the Lord. Guess what? Those two words back to back, this is the only time it's mentioned in the Bible. Only fear the Lord. That is a pretty strict statement, a pretty important statement. Only fear the Lord. Think of a famous saying by a president, FDR, way back in the 30s, I believe it was. What did he say? He said, "The only thing we have to fear is fear itself." During that wartime, he was rallying the country. Very important cause then. But, doctrinally side, what should we be fearing? Only fear the Lord. You fear the Lord because we know what awaits. Judgment's coming. We know. We need to have that determination, that desire to only fear the Lord. Let's turn to Psalms chapter 130. Psalm chapter 130. Comments here from God in Psalms 130. We're looking at starting verse 3. Psalm 130, verse 3. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? Remember the key point of the forgiveness of? We all have iniquities. Who shall stand? We couldn't stand if he didn't forgive us. Verse 4 says, but there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. Only fear the Lord because of he's the one forgiving us. He's the one that gives us a plan to have the understanding, to have a meaning of life. Only fear the Lord. There is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. His forgiveness allows us to fear him because I can't forgive you. No one else can forgive you your sins. Only God can. We should fear that. The government can't. Our parents can't. Grandparents. Nobody else can forgive your sins and forgive you when you fail. Only the Lord. We should fear that and understand that he is to be feared in not a normal way of we think of being scared to death of him. No. It's the fear of like, hey, I need to please my Father here because he's forgiven me and I have to answer for how I served him. Verse 5 says, I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. In his word do I hope. So, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. In his word do I hope. That's where our hope lies. So, only fear the Lord. This determination, that desire, it's not a natural thing, is it? It's not our flesh way of doing things, to have that determination to only serve him because our flesh and the world and the devil want us to do a lot of other things and not be in God's plan. The next part of verse 24 back in Samuel says, and serve him in truth with all your heart. Remember we saw the direction to serve the Lord with all your heart and turn not aside. Here God has added serve him in truth. But what's truth? John 17:17 says, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. The truth is the word of God. It says, serve him in truth with all your heart. Very key thing to remember. For consider how great things he hath done for you. Don't forget. Yes, serve him with all your heart, but in truth. And how do we do that? That direction. We better be serving him under the direction of the Apostle Paul, as he's laid out, because that's where the good works come from, following that doctrine laid out to us by Paul. Let's turn to Psalms 119 and see kind of an outline of God's plan here. If you look close, you can see kind of the same points here as I was laying out. Psalm 119, verses 35, starting verse 35. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies, and not to covetousness. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. Psalmist is asking for this. It's a prayer to do this, to follow God's plan as he's laid out here. Incline mine heart into thy testimonies. This determination, this desire does not come naturally. It comes from the word of God. As you get into it more, try to follow him, to serve him, it just builds on it. It just builds an understanding that, hey, I need to follow God. Here's what he's laid out for me. I need to serve him. I don't need to serve myself. I don't need to serve my own desire. I need to serve him and follow him. So, you see kind of an overview of these things being delivered, direction, destination, discipleship, determination right here as David talks about here in Psalms. And we see one more point about having this inclined heart. God, he's asking for it, the inclined heart. And then in Psalm 19, verse 112, he says, I have inclined mine heart to perform thy statute always, even unto the end. Verse 36, he's asking for prayer for that. Verse 112, he says, I have done that. I have inclined my heart. Have we done that today? Have each of us done this today? Inclined our heart to serve him. That determination, that desire to do what's right, to do according to the scripture, to do what God has laid out for us, to follow his plan. As we've seen, talked about already, Paul is the apostle of the Gentiles. What does Paul say about this determination and desire? We'll see. First, look at 1 Thessalonians 2:13. First Thessalonians 2:13 says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you receive the word of God which ye heard of us, you receive it not as the word of men, but as is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." Effectually worketh also in you that believe. We have to believe. We have to be determined and have a desire to believe the word that Paul laid out, as it is in truth the word of God, not the word of men. And as we see, some of Paul's final words in 2 Timothy, we see his determination and how he lived his life. 2 Timothy 4, what did he do? What did Paul do? Can we say these words? Because none of us know when our end is. Our end may be today. We need to look at this and understand our end could be today. Are we ready to say these words? Can we say these words? Verse 6. 2 Timothy 4, verse 6, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." There's that determination, that desire that Paul had. He says, everyone can have this same crown of righteousness if we love his appearing. Have we determined that in our heart today? Do I love the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ? Or do I love this life? I love what I have temporally. All these things. Do I love his appearing? We need to have that same desire, that same determination. As we turn back to our final point, 1 Samuel chapter 12, look at verse 25, and we see the result of what could happen, what will happen for us. Judgment will happen. Verse 25, it says, "But if ye shall still do wickedly, ye shall be consumed, both ye and your king." Still do wickedly. Now, what was wicked defined as in this passage? Not allowing God to reign in their hearts. Choosing another king. Still do wickedly. You shall be consumed. If we still do wickedly today, it shall be consumed, both us and our king. Let's not allow that to happen. We see a very, very important verse in the Old Testament that states this very clearly. Ecclesiastes 12. Ecclesiastes 12. 13. Chapter 13. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13, 14. "If you still do wickedly, shall be consumed." Verse 13. Ecclesiastes 12 says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment, with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. He will bring it into judgment. It will be consumed or it will be rewarded. Every work will be made manifest. We see that from Paul's doctrine in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's turn there. About to close it out as we see this destruction that can happen if we still do wickedly. Corinthians 3, we'll start in verse 13 this time. Talking about the judgment of our works here. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. See that destruction, that being consumed, suffer loss. Know, verse 16, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let's not allow the destruction that can take place in our judgment seat. It can take place. It will take place if we're not following God's plan as He's laid out. So critical to understand the plan and the end of the plan, the mission. Very critical to understand that. Do we have that determination, that desire to follow this plan that God's laid out? The final thing, final verse, we'll look at 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5, as we look at verse 10 and 11. It says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. There's the judgment, good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your conscience. Remember that term, only fear the Lord? This helps us understand it. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, because of knowing that judgment awaits, that our works will be tried. And if they're not of God, they will be consumed, they will be destroyed, they will have destruction. We should want and have that desire to follow God's plan. The only way to do that is to be allow Him to deliver us every day. Allow Him to reign in our life. Not choose a different king every day. Follow the direction. Serve the Lord with all our heart. Turn not aside in following what Paul has laid out for us. Understanding the destination that awaits. Heaven awaits. God will not forsake us. Understanding that we have a job to do in discipleship and prayer for others, teaching the good and right way. Understanding that I need to have that determination and that desire to only fear the Lord, because we do not want destruction at judgment seat. We want reward. We should want reward, because that's what awaits. And that's God's plan discovered in 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 20 through 25. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for this day. This word you've given us that applies to us today, the understanding that we can get only from your word as we only fear you, Lord, and not what the world throws at us, what our flesh throws at us, what the devil throws at us. Only fear you. To continue on this path, to follow your plan as it's laid out so clearly to us in your word. I pray that we would all receive this truth to live by it, Lord, because the day is coming, our end. We don't know when it is. It's coming. Do we love your appearing when that day happens? That's the question we all need to ask. We pray that we would all apply our hearts to that, receive this truth, continue on living for you and the plan you've laid out. We just thank you and praise you now. In Jesus' name, amen.